pass out half, and Pastor Tim, you can pass this out. We're still on question number three. Question number three, when we look through the doctrine of Satan, we'll be answering several questions. And this question that we've been asking for the last several weeks is basically what on your outline? Do you have it? Do you remember? Miss Debbie, can you read it? You're talking to your mom out of turn, huh? I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding. I don't care. All right. So we're asking the question of what? Question number three. It's on the top of your sheets.
What are the various names of Satan?
Thank you. There we go. What are the various names of Satan and what do they mean? So last week, now it's not on your sheet, so don't look down there unless you have the sheet from last week. The last one we talked about was name number 10, and we said the name number 10, that he is the accuser of the brethren. And I hope that you had went away understanding this, that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He stands before God and makes accusations against us. But then we saw as well that not only does he do it that way, but oftentimes he uses, yes, sir, he uses, he uses our own emotions and our own thought processes really to keep convicting us of something that God has already cleansed us for. And I hope you would have left and understood and known this, that if you have asked God to forgive you for something, it's under the blood, it's put away. No longer is God going to bring that up for you as an accusation. It's covered by his shed blood on the cross of Calvary. And so that brings us to name number 11. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter number 8. John chapter number 8. We have another familiar name for Satan that will help us to understand not only who he is, but some of the tactics that he does. And if you're filling in the blank, we find that his name is Murderer. Murderer. The Bible says in John 8 and verse 44, this is the Lord speaking, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Let's pray. Father, we love you this evening. We thank you, Lord, for the time of testimony, the time of prayer, Father. Thank you for the time of worship. And I pray now, Father, that you would be a help to us as we think about this 11th name for Satan, that he is a murderer. So, Father, help us to understand this great truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Understand this, that those who commit murder are doing something. Now, you might not have ever thought about this, but they're doing something satanic. You say, well, how can murder be satanic? I thought satanic was, they had a pentagraph and they would put candles around and they cast spells and witches would dance crazy dances out in the woods. And I thought that was satanic. Yes, all that is satanic or can be satanic. Understand this, though. When you commit murder, when someone commits murder, it is a satanic act. Notice this verse. It says, ye are of the father of the devil, the lust of your father, ye will do. So again, this is the Lord speaking about Satan. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. We need to realize something simply this, that God did not and does not originate from God. Murder does not originate from God, nor did it come from God. As a matter of fact, Jesus said it comes from Satan. So if you do something that originates from Satan and something that he was the first one to entice someone to do it, guess what? It's a satanic act. So, my friend, I don't know if you've ever been to the point where you wanted to kill someone. I know all of us have said at times, I come home from work and said, I just want to kill this person. I know you don't really mean you want to kill them, but listen, be careful, because Satan was a murderer from the very, very beginning. It was Satan who inspired Cain to really kill his godly brother. Abel, and thereby he earned the title of being the first murderer. You know, James makes it clear in his Bible there are two ways in which we can literally murder someone. You say, well, how is that? Well, the first one would be physically. We can physically murder someone. Shoot them with a gun, stab them with a knife, run them over with a car. Whether it's involuntary manslaughter, whether it's premeditated murder, whether it's like murder one, two, or three, whatever the counts they have here in Virginia, it's physical murder. But then there's something else. Not only is there physical murder, and that's the things that they know that we count as one of the big sins here on this earth, you know, and we kind of think to ourselves, boy, I'm planning on never murdering somebody because I don't plan on going to jail for 30 or 40 years of my life. But you know what? We be careful lest we fall. And it's only by the grace of God that we aren't just like some of those people in the jail cells all across the United States. So if we would say there's two kinds of murderer, there's murder, there's physical, where someone actually physically kills someone and the body stops breathing and the body dies. What would be the second type? Mental, yes, that's how about this. Well, just spiritual, yes, that's good. Let's just put it all together this way. Let's call it verbal murder. You say, well, I don't know about that. Well, I'm glad you asked, because turning your Bibles to the book of James. Matthew, Mark, James, and you'll be right there. James chapter number 3. We see that James has an interest in this idea of not a physical murder, but a verbal murder. James chapter number 3. If you have a King James Study Bible, page 1942, that might help some of you get there. All right? Who would read that James 3 in verse number 8? All right, Henry first, and we'll get to you next, brother. All right. So we have physical murder, then we have verbal murder. If you were to really study this out, you would find that full of deadly poison literally gives us this connotation of a physical death, that the poison will go in to the point where the person would die. Look over, hope you could find this, James chapter 4 and verse number 2. James 4 and verse number 2. All right. How about Jerry, would you read that for us? All right, so the Bible says, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and ye cannot attain. When I began to do some research on these two passages of Scripture, I find that Albert Barnes is a pretty good commentator, and this is what he had to say. And I'm going to quote what he had to say verbatim to help you to understand this. He said, these words then are to be understood in a modified sense, denoting bitter hatred, which according to the spirit of the gospel is equivalent to murder. In other words, he says you kill in spirit, or you kill in thought, or you kill in verbal words. That's my own wording. Then he goes on to say, according to 1 John 3 and verse number 15, it says, he that hateth his brother is a murderer. So in 1 John 3 and verse 15, it's not speaking about someone who literally murders a brother. It's speaking figuratively. It's speaking verbally. And he goes on to say, compare with this the words of our Lord in Matthew 5 in verses 21 through 22. Jesus said, yeah, have heard that it's been said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be guilty of the judgment. So we find then, if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves not physically committing murder, but in the spirit we are committing murder, according to James, according to 1 John 3:15, according to our Lord in Matthew chapter number 5. So he goes on and concludes with this: not the external act of murder, but the internal disposition, the bitter hatred, is described. Strong and vehement expressions are the characteristic styles of St. James, or the writer of the book of James. So we find that Satan's name, his 11th name, is that of murderer. And all the God was not the inventor of murder. It was Satan himself who enticed Cain to kill Abel, thereby becoming the first murderer. So we find name number 11 is murderer. Let's look at name number 12. He is a liar. He is a liar. And in this verse, we see that Christ called Satan the father, or the originator of lies. Currently, Satan, according to Revelation 12 and verse number 9, we'll turn there. And Revelation 12 and verse number 9 is one that deceives the whole world. He deceives the whole world. And if you think about that, we've spoken about this before. I just want to refresh you in this. Satan is deceptive, but in his deceptiveness, he has no problem in telling lies. It's kind of like some of those police shows on television you might watch. And in case you didn't know, and you ever find yourself in a little dark room with a little light bulb hanging down on one side of the table with your arms and handcuffs, listen, they're allowed by judicial decree to tell you whatever they want. They can make up information. They can make up stories. They can lie straight to their face. They can do whatever they want to get you to confess to whatever you're doing. So I hope you're never in that predicament, but what I'm simply saying is this, is that if you find yourself in that case, just keep your mouth shut till your lawyer gets there, amen? And call the pastor and I'll pray for you, but I'm not bailing you out of jail, all right? But the truth is simply this, that Satan is the deceiver of the whole world. And look at chapter 12, verse 9. And the great dragon was cast, and the old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth, get that? The whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So we find, just like in other names of Satan we have looked at in the past, we find that this in the Greek language is in the present participle of the breakdown of Greek, like we have English. And that simply means what? Do you remember? The present participle in the Greek. Do you remember we talked about this on two or three other occasions with the names of Satan? It means you can do it. It means it's a continual, ongoing practice. So you say, well, Satan, he continues to lie? Yes, on and on, on and on, on and on. As a matter of fact, it continues until he's bound during the millennial reign of Christ. But understand this, turn to Revelation chapter number 20. I'm going to prove to you that his name, liar, is a continual thing. So he lies before he's bound, before the millennium, and after the millennial reign, when he's loose for a season, guess what? He resumes doing something as soon as he is out. Look in Revelation 20 and verse number 3. Who would read that? Revelation 20 and verse 3. All right, thank you. All right, so we find that he's put away during the millennial reign of Christ. He has deceived and he has lied all the way up to that point. Now, look at verse number 7 and 8. Let's read those two verses and let's get the biblical proof text that it's a continual action, even in the Greek. Who would read that? All right, John, thank you. All right, so we find that he's deceiving them. How is he deceiving them? By lying to them. So we find that even the Greek language sometimes gives us another understanding of the continual action, and God's word backs it up, that he lies before he's put in the bottomless pit, after he's let out the millennial reign of Christ. Guess what? He goes again to deceiving the nations. Matter of fact, all that Satan does and all that Satan promotes is a lie. And we saw that in John 8 and verse number 44. What does he do? He twists the truth. You know, he gives you just a little bit of the truth and then twists it with a lie to make you believe it. He twists the truth, he shades the truth, and tampers the truth in an attempt to keep people from understanding God's word. And by not understanding God's word, guess what? Oftentimes we're not dedicated to God and dedicated to his word because we don't have a true understanding of the truth of God. Here's something I want you to understand. It's impossible for Satan to be truth-oriented. And we mentioned this before. Even if it appears to be something truthful, it is a falsehood. Satan cannot be truthful. He is a liar, and the Bible said he is the father of all lies. So take that to the bank. He's the father of all lies, and my friend, he lies from the very beginning of time, that he began to gather his army of angels to rebel against God. No doubt he lied to them. He lied in the Garden of Eden until that he's lying today, until the point that he's shut away for 1,000 years. He comes out, and what's he do? Deceives and lies again. I don't know what it takes for someone to be called a liar, but I can promise you this, he is a liar. Well, let's look at name number 13. Name number 13. His name is Enemy. I don't know about you, but I had too many friends in high school that were deceptive as Satan was, and maybe even a liar. But you know what? I didn't embrace them as enemies. I wasn't smart enough. So name number 13 is this. Satan is named Enemy. And that's a very intriguing title contextually. And that word contextually means in a manner that's dependent upon the context. So when you look at the context of it, it really helps us to understand the true meaning of this name, that he is an enemy. And he's our enemy because it implies that Satan is the enemy of God's people and specifically plants his own agents in the midst of God's people to try and sway them from the truth. Do you believe that to be the truth? You think Satan plants people in the midst of God's people? We don't have time to turn there, but I can promise you this. I don't know if it's down in your notes. I can't remember if I left them or not. But Matthew chapter number 13, verses 25, 28, and verse number 39 teaches us that in that great parable that Christ gave us. And then we'll find in verses 30 and verse number 40 that God will permit his satanic agents to live until the time of judgment. And then according to Matthew 13, we find that they are pulled out first and then they are burned as chaff. And what this immediately tells us is simply this, that we can expect Satan to have his people rise up with godly people inside the local New Testament church. I know what you're thinking. Yeah, I know. I know a couple devils in this church. Amen. Well, maybe that's not the way we ought to be looking at it, because probably they're not really Satan plants, but there is. And Satan does plant them. And his desire is to draw people away from God. And he'll oftentimes use someone who appears to be a very godly kind of person, but their advice is ungodly. Their advice is unworldly. They don't follow biblical principles in their life, but yet they hold other people to higher standards than they even hold themselves to. And those people are not interested in leading people to a true understanding of God's word. They're not interested really in winning people to Christ. They're just coming there and they're just doing as minimal as possible. They're trying to be that satanic agent designed by Satan to harm the flock of God. So we have to be careful for that. Turning your Bible to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, then we'll be done for today. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 28 through verse number 31. You say, oh, I don't think that to be true. Well, the Lord taught that in the parable. And notice what Paul says in Acts chapter 20. Paul believed it to be true. Acts chapter 20, look at verse number 28 through verse number 31. And the Bible says in Acts 20 and verse number 28, Paul says, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Glory, hallelujah, thank God for that. 29, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise. Now listen, that's what I'm talking about. People that are planted right in the church, of your own selves. He's not talking at this point about someone coming from the outside as grievous wolves. He said there's some right in the middle of you right now shall rise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Then he gives us the remedy. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Paul is saying, listen, don't forget, I told you for 3 years while I was here speaking to the church at Ephesus and pastoring the church at Ephesus, there's coming a time when I go that some will rise right up out of the midst of you. Others will come from the outside desiring to do away with that church at Ephesus. And so if Paul believes it, and the Lord says it's going to happen, guess what? It happens. It happens more often than we care to believe or even take action on. So understand this. He is our enemy. He is a liar. And we need to understand that and plan and prepare for that. And he is a murderer. So, my friend, as we coming down to the last few names of Satan, understand this, that he is someone who you and I cannot defeat apart from Jesus Christ. Don't think you're big enough and bad enough to stand and fight Satan all by yourself, because I promise you this, he is bigger, more powerful than you are, but in and through God working in and through us, through the enablement of the Holy Spirit of God, we can be victorious over him. Let's pray. Father, we love you this evening.